Continuing our discussion now on high-speed rail, we have with us in our studio another Valley journalist who has been following this issue. He is Evan Onstott, news anchor for Channel 24, KC Television in Fresno. Evan is also the host of a new Sunday morning program called Sunday Morning Matters. It is on KC, and I have been privileged to be a guest on the program, in fact, last week.
Yeah, so a couple times. We want you back.
Wanted to return the favor, Evan.
Thanks so much. No, we're really excited about the program, and we're trying to do kind of a little bit of what you guys do so well. On television, though.
Well, you've been doing some great coverage on high-speed rail. The last 2 weeks, you've had sort of a back and forth between different sides of this issue. First, Assemblymember Jim Patterson from Fresno, who has big concerns after this L.A. Times expose. Mm-hmm. And then last week, Henry Perea. County Supervisor Henry Perea.
Yeah, the supervisor. Dad.
Also a big person involved in high-speed rail on the opposite side in support. Tell me a little more about what you're hearing from them.
Well, first of all, Jim Patterson was piping hot. He was mad. I think he used the phrase rat's nest of deception when talking about this LA Times article and just how he feels about the high-speed rail authority, exactly what's going on, what they're telling the legislature. And so they're upset, and he thinks that this thing is bound to, I mean, it's already doubled its budget from what was originally, you know, voted on. And he thinks it's just bound to maybe double again. And he says, no matter whether it's $68 billion or $268 billion by the time it's put together, he says it's going to happen. And he just feels like there's no accountability and that there's no way for the legislature to really get the truth out of the rail authority and to hold their feet to the fire a little bit. And so he wants to subpoena people. He wants to bring people in, make them testify under oath. And so he's upset. He's really mad. Then Supervisor Perea this last week, this past Sunday, these interviews, by the way, are available on our Facebook page and on our website, yourcentralvalley.com, a little bit of a plug. But he says, listen, these are big projects. These cost money. I don't think things are being intentionally deceptive. There's all these estimates out there, and the rail authority is doing their best to be transparent. And he says that he's going to support them because he thinks it's a valuable project. It's a progressive project. And unless things completely overrun to a wild degree, Supervisor Perea says he's going to be supportive of the project. And it's interesting because I don't see much middle ground here. You know, the critics are gonna hate it. They've hated it from the beginning. It's not like Assemblymember Patterson is just now jumping on this and going, hey, wait a minute. And it's not like Perea either has been, you know, questioning the motives and stuff like that. I mean, he was, you know, recently off in Spain studying. We talked about, you know, the similarities to what it should be in Germany. But they're really basing it off of what it looks like in Spain right now. And so these politicians have kind of planted their flags in the sand, and they've drawn a line, and I don't necessarily see any reason right now why any of them would cross over that line.
So essentially not a whole lot is going to change, at least in the political calculus on this issue, even if it's $8 billion more than the current estimate. We'll see when the revised plans come out in 2016, but politically people are pretty locked in.
They are. You know, one of the constant things that you see, and you saw it maybe with those billboards from Steve Brandel, I believe that was last year, with the damn train billboards, you know, and basically they want the money that's being spent on high-speed rail, and we've seen this very recently, I believe, and they want that to be spent on water projects, and so specifically water storage, I think, and some other things. But, you know, so they want this money spent in a different way. And the people who support the project, they're not budging in any way. It's just, you know, because they see it as a huge jobs project. They see it as a huge boom for downtown revitalization. It's absolutely key to Mayor Swearingen's plans. And it's still years off in the future to see exactly what happens if that heavy processing facility, that heavy maintenance facility ends up going into Fresno. I mean, these are huge issues that still have to be determined. And the cost, of course, is still up in the air, so to speak.
We'll continue to follow that and report on our station, and also I'm sure Evan will on KC24. I want to turn to another big issue that's out right now in the Fresno area, and that's the scandal that is being called by some in the media bonus gate. The bonuses that Fresno Mayor Ashley Swearingen, it was revealed last week in the Fresno Bee in a great piece by John Ellis, that Mayor Swearingen had been handing out to top city employees that were unbeknownst, apparently, to the city council. The mayor says that they were disclosed in some fashion, somewhere buried deep in city budget documents. But if you actually talk to most people out there who follow City Hall, and including those on the council, most people didn't know about this. When this first came out, the story was these bonuses. Now, is it growing, do you think? Is this starting to become a bigger issue politically for the mayor, as the council is already calling press conferences saying we're going to tighten this law, the Transparency Act? Is this snowballing into something that's really a big issue?
It could be. I think the whole Transparency Act that was, I believe, passed back in 2010 by the city government, you know, this was specifically to highlight things like this, that they don't want anything going under the table. You know, I think transparency is something that everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what side of the aisle, whether you lean right or left, people want things to be up and up. They want things to be out in front. And any time that we're seeing something like this, where money is being exchanged, even if it is legal, if people don't know about it, then it certainly doesn't feel good. And so I think the longer the story kind of hangs in the air, I think the more it hurts her. I don't know if it's going to hurt her long term, because as Steve Brandow told me on our program, he said, listen, I don't mind these people getting bonuses. These people are good employees of the city. It's true that we don't pay as much as other cities of similar size in the state. And he thinks that it's good that they're able to compensate any way they can. But he just hates the way it's being done. Also, he doesn't think that the bonuses should be as big as they are. He thinks that just work that money into their salary or something in the first place, because it just seems a bit odd. It really does. It doesn't smell very good. It's like the governor with the getting the favors from the oil and gas regulators. You know, he appoints somebody and then 2 days later he turns around and says, "Hey, can you map out my property? They say it's legal, but at the same time, it just smells a little bit bad."
Yeah.
And so people don't like things that don't seem transparent.
The smell test certainly is invoked in this case. And one thing that sort of struck me looking at this issue, the council passed this Transparency Act in 2010, mm-hmm. saying the mayor and city manager had to publish this report on city salaries. The mayor did that up until 2012, and then at some point, city manager, the administration stopped doing that. The mayor said in her statement, "We dropped the ball," her direct quote there. The city council kind of also dropped the ball. They're the ones who, Lee Brand, the policy maven on the city council, he wrote this act. Apparently no one noticed that this was not happening. Egg on the face of both sides of City Hall, right?
And that's why I think that it's not going to end up hurting anybody necessarily politically. It's just one of those situations in which people go, what are you guys doing right now? I mean, it just doesn't smell good. And so when you have people on, you know, who either are doing it or the people who should be noticing it, not doing their jobs as properly as they would probably admit that they should have been, then that's when I think everybody kind of walks away with maybe a big slap on the wrist and maybe nothing more. But we'll see, because this is still a story. Obviously, we're talking about it. Other people are talking about it. People are writing about it. And so we'll see how it hangs, because it does have the potential to grow. But I just don't know if it's going to end up hurting anybody.
Well, the other thing that we haven't mentioned is labor negotiations with city labor unions. They are not pleased with the mayor overall, mm-mm. let alone after this particular situation. More fodder for contentious contracts in the future, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's not just the fact that these select people in the city are getting bonuses. It's the fact that they're getting huge bonuses. $20,000 in a single year, you know, $10,000 in repeated years, year after year after year. And so the city employees union, you know, and they're saying we haven't gotten a raise in, I think, 4 years because of, you know, all the problems that the city was having financially. Now that the city is doing well, we're like, they're going to say, oh, well, if we're able to throw out these suitcases of cash to certain employees, then at least you could hand us an envelope with cash to each one of our city employees. We should be in on this too, because they're looking at this and saying, we work just as hard, if not harder, than some of these other people. We deserve raises, and if some people are going to be getting it, then we should be getting some of that as well.
Mayor Swearengen has about 14 months left in office. If you look forward on the calendar, do you think this makes her final few months a little more difficult working with the council? And what else do you think might be in the horizon, not so much in her political future, but in the next 14 months for the mayor? Is this going to be a difficult time? She wants to get this Fulton Mall thing done. That's her big, big priority. Still no construction there. It was supposed to start in, I think, summer or fall.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen it yet.
Well, because they were supposed to, you know, get all the bids in, and they're supposed to choose a contractor and then start moving forward. I think for her, it's all going to be about this, you know, really her legacy with the Fulton Mall, but also the Blackstone Avenue revitalization and just improving that corridor. I think she's going to throw everything that she has behind that, because really at the end of the day, that is how she's going to be judged. I mean, this bonuses thing, this is going to stick in the minds of people like you and me and people who follow this stuff carefully, like the people who probably listen to this radio show. But I think for most people, it's going to be the lasting effect. Mayor after mayor has tried to do what she's trying to do right now. She's had a good chunk of time, and she's had a bit of success getting all the people and the money together. It's just a matter of, can she execute? And it's really the clock is, it seems like a long way away, 14 months, but to try to achieve some of the things that she's trying to achieve, to set those major building blocks in place for construction in these areas, she needs to get on it, and she needs to get something. She needs momentum by the time she steps out of office.
So tell us more about your program. We're joined right now by Evan Onstott, host of the new program Sunday Morning Matters on KC24. It's a part of the station's local coverage of politics and public affairs. This is relatively new. It's been going a few months now.
Yeah, I think a couple months maybe. And it's going to be every Sunday for as long as I can see it going. I mean, it's not going to be something just during election season. Here's the thing. Our station has really tried to stake a claim, KC24, as being your local election headquarters on television. We want to be a station that people know that they can turn to for quality political and policy coverage. And one thing, when I was brought in to this job, and I've only been in Fresno for a little over a year now, I moved here last August. And one thing that when I was brought in, they said that, listen, we liked what you were doing at your previous station politically. We want to see this continuing. And would you like to do a show like this? And I said, absolutely. This is exactly what we'd like to do. So what we do every week is we bring in people who are, you know, some newsmakers, whatever the top stories of the week, you know, this high-speed rail, the bonuses situation. We had both of those interviews on this past Sunday. And then we also have a panel discussion in which, Joe, you've been a part of a couple times. And so with also newsmakers or people who – journalists, people who cover politics, and we're able to kind of analyze the issues and talk about winners, losers, stuff like that. I try to keep it fun. I try to keep it light while also being very informative. I just want – because on television, let's be honest, the advantage you guys have in the radio – business is that you guys can really dig down, and it's a service. And television, sometimes when we're restricted to our minute 15, heck, 30 second VOs and sound bites, we don't get the coverage out there that maybe people are desiring when it comes to something like this. This show allows us every single week for people to either watch it live or set their DVRs and get a good, deeper idea of the current events and the politics and the policies that are affecting their area.
Before we go, one last bit of news that came out last week. Connie Perez, she was in the race to challenge David Valadao as a Democrat in that congressional district, joining Daniel Parra, who's the mayor pro tem of Fowler. Then all of a sudden, last week, she was out of the race. What do you make of that situation right now? And are Dems in disarray? There's some talk about a Bakersfield school board member who's considering a run, but not official yet.
It's not looking good for the Democrats in the 21st district. I mean, it's David Valadao has shown time and time again that he is going to – that he can win big elections against quality candidates. Amanda Renteria was as qualified as they come a couple of years ago. Obviously, Democrats did not show up to vote in that election. But I think that Democrats have a tough time. Connie Perez, people had really high hopes for her. Maybe she didn't have the experience of Amanda Renteria, but she was going to be in this presidential election year. There's going to be a huge turnout, we know, from Latinos, in which Latinos have a big voter registration gap, Democrats in general, in David Valadao's district. So the numbers are there for a Democrat to win. But and here's the thing, Joe, just a couple days before she dropped out, I was talking to Matt Rogers, who's the president of the Young Democrats of Fresno County. He was campaigning with her at some event in the valley, at some parade. And then 2 days later, she's out. I couldn't believe it. Really, I was shocked. I know a lot of people were.
Do you think money comes in at some point to back Daniel Parr, or is he just going to run on his endorsements, which are quite lengthy, judging by his emails that he sends out, but not a whole lot of money that he's raised so far. It doesn't seem that hasn't attracted the type of investment that Amanda Renteria did by even close to that amount.
Renteria was close to I don't know the exact figures, but she had a huge trunk full of money when she took on Valadao in the last election. I don't know if Parra, who recently had just a few thousand dollars to Valadao's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in his campaign chest, I don't know if that's ever going to get back even close. I don't think it's going to. I think it's an uphill battle, but we're looking forward to having Parra on the show and Valadao on the show. And in the end, we want ideas and policies to trump, you know, what's being raised money-wise. But this is America, and this is reality, and it takes cash to win sometimes.
We'll see what happens in November 2016. Evan Onstott is the host of Sunday Morning Matters on KC24. What's the time again?
It's at 8 o'clock right after Meet the Press.
All right. Check it out on KC24 in Fresno and the Valley. Evan, thanks you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.